Goodman Radio Show. And here is the studio orchestra of the Spud Goodman Show, sartorially regaled in sequined jumpsuit and cantilevered pompadour, the world's only accordion-playing Elvis impersonator, Accordion Joe.
Here comes the Spud Man, he goes down easy. He calls to you who, the social outcast. Yes, you who are rejected. He wants you, he needs you, he loves you. Here comes the Spud Man, he goes down easy. Here comes the Spud Man.
It's the Spud Goodman Show. Let's get ready. Trumbo! And here he is, the head cheese meister. It's Spud Goodman.
Greetings and our hola, amigos. I am, in fact, Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Welcome, everyone, to our rather unique radio program. I'm aware there are maybe more accurate terms used by others to describe our show, like, say, train wreck or one big mess. I choose to tune out all the haters and stay inside the bubble that tells me the Spud Goodman Show just might be the third best radio show now on the air. Yeah, I may be the only person inside that bubble, but every vote counts, right? So let me introduce our designated laugher, my Aunt Dorothy. Why don't you start things off with a quick chuckle?
I can do that. How was that?
That was serviceable. I've heard better chuckles, but it'll
Wait. Can I get a do-over?
Not necessary.
Oh, no, fine.
I am now forced to acknowledge our temporary permanent co-host, Gerald Holcomb. Maybe, you know, you could just send out to the universe through your body language that you're now acknowledging my acknowledgement.
I think it'd be actually...
You know, maybe with an unspoken graciousness towards my generosity. Okay. Oh, yeah, I am now picking up through your well-spoken body language that you are appreciative of my acknowledgement of you. So moving on,
But I most certainly am not displaying any body language right now. I don't know how to communicate through body language. It is impossible to do this.
Nothing is impossible in life. With a can-do attitude, anything can be accomplished. Just give it a try.
Well, I'd much prefer to just say how excited I am about this show, as I think we've got a great lineup.
Look,
this week.
You had to get in those actual words, you violated my instructions. I'm going to get, you know, things started here with a suggestion from a listener. This is one I wanted to bring up. He will remain nameless until we find out if his idea will really work. Why give someone public recognition if they end up giving us horrible advice, right?
People can't figure me out. They can't process me. I don't expect them to. You can't process me with a normal brain.
I didn't see the email he sent. What exactly is he suggesting we do differently on the show?
Yeah, you know, if he's advocating that we give greater airtime to other staff members, count me in as a big supporter.
He never mentioned anything about giving others more airtime, okay? He said
idea.
He listens to a lot of radio and watches a ton of TV. He says he's kind of an expert, so I'm going to give his suggestions a shot. When you think about it, we can't get any worse ratings.
I'm curious. What exactly is he saying? Will it make this show better? Spud, did he mention me?
And can I ask if he said anything about me or Chance? I know that we're receiving a lot of feedback about our relationship. You would be surprised how many people are involved in alternative relationships.
I gotta admit the truth. It turned me on.
No, he did not mention anything about staff members. But Aunt Dorothy, there may be a few people who are okay with someone your age dating a 21-year-old community college intern, but I don't think there are enough of them to help us with the ratings.
Oh, you would be surprised at how many people are okay with our kind of relationships, Bud.
I don't know.
They just choose to remain anonymous.
Well, you know, of course, if you were a man and Chance were a young woman, there would be a strong public support. But I refuse to believe more than a few morally bankrupt souls would approve of your situations. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but sometimes I have to tell it like it is.
Shut up.
I won't take moral counseling from a guy who is one generation removed from having a family full of sister wives.
You know, Mrs. Jarvis, you know I only have one wife.
Oh,
hey, can I just get to what this guy's saying, you know, we can do to make the show, like, really popular? It's pretty simple. He thinks if we just try and, you know, compete with the current stuff on pay cable, Netflix, and Sirius XM, things would, like, really take off. All we need to do is start swearing a lot. Pretty simple, huh?
Yes!
Well, I have no problem dropping F-bombs.
What are you saying, Spud? I know occasionally you've used profanity to express yourself on this show, but thank God our audio director, Dave, has always got his finger on the control so he can use a bleep to cover it up. You know, we're on terrestrial radio stations in many markets, and there are FCC rules and regulations that we have to follow. I do not want to go to prison.
Well, what do we have to lose?
What the hell do you have to lose?
I know I can't swear during guest interviews. Of course, most celebrities cuss like sailors, but they can only do it in like Quentin Tarantino movies or David Mamet plays. I mean, they get a pass for having a potty mouth while in character,
yeah.
But they just can't go off, you know, swearing at people on the street or in interviews on regular radio. We're going to have to be strategic with our language with this one.
Yeah, well, you know, a low-rated radio show is better than a show that gets yanked off the air.
Oh, true.
Yeah, that is a good point, but... You know, we can give this a try, and if Dave, our audio director, has, you know, to bleep a few things, so be it. I mean, it's on him, I guess. No pressure if you're listening at the control board, Dave. Yeah. So let me get things started by saying, yeah.
Wow.
There I said it.
I know.
It did feel kind of invigorating to say it out loud. It's one thing to mumble it under our breath during the show, not you, but I'm talking about my aunt and I, but just to blurt it out, it kind of gives you a high. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean!
No, I don't.
All right, well, anyway, right now I need to introduce our musical guest. I'm a big fan of these guys. Say hello to Massey Ferguson.
Maybe the gods gonna be on my side. Swear to raise me up on high. Maybe the gods gonna be on my side. Ain't gonna go back slide. Maybe the God's gonna be on my side. Slap the time and tide. Maybe the God's gonna be on my side. Be on my side. Lord, I try. Maybe the God's gonna be on my side. I don't see no dark side. Maybe the God's gonna be on my side. Won't fall by the wayside. Maybe the God's gonna be on my side. Be on my side. Oh, I try. You're coming right on time. Maybe the gods are gonna be in my life. Be in my life. Lord, I try. Maybe the God's gonna be a side, be on my side, be on my side. Maybe the gods gonna be on my side, be on my side. Maybe the gods gonna be on my side, be on my side, be on my side. Maybe the gods gonna be on my side, be on my side, be on my side.
This is the Spud Goodman Show. This is the Spud Goodman Show.
Say, Spud.
Yes.
Well, your first guest, Ron Perlman, is waiting to speak with you.
Okay, I'm a fan of this guy. He's a real 100% badass. No pretend toughness here.
Oh, yeah?
Besides running like a motorcycle club on Sons of Anarchy and a bunch of other, you know, bad guy roles, like he was, of course, in Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy 1 and 2, he was so good as a demon.
A demon? Who would make a movie about a demon? That's sick. Demons don't deserve to have movies made about them.
You dick!
My gosh, there are so many good people to make movies about.
Oh, it was based on a comic book character, Gerald.
What? Someone wrote a comic book about a demon?
Oh, brother.
You know, comic books are supposed to be funny, like Archie or Dennis the Menace. Who would want to be scared by a demon in a comic book?
Pissing our pants yet?
Many millions of people.
I don't
understand. It's make-believe. And the demon Ron played in Hellboy 1 and 2 worked to fight, you know, not-so-nice people and entities. He was a conflicted demon. But just put him through.
Yeah, here he is.
Say hello to actor Ron Perlman. Thanks much for checking in with us. I am a fan. I want to say that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you about, you know, your relationship with the amazing director Guillermo del Toro. I got to ask you this. How cool was the experience with him on the set? You worked with him multiple times. He has to be one of the most creative people in the movie biz.
Well, he's creative, but he's also just a really great and fun human to be around. I was fortunate enough to be invited to participate in the very first film he ever made down in Mexico City. And the minute we were in each other's company, we felt like we'd known each other for like 30 years. There was just this warmth and this ease to our relationship that has turned into not only just a great professional collaboration, but, you know, like brothers from another mother kind of thing.
All right. So you guys might work again together in the future?
I wouldn't rule it out.
All right. Well, you also have a new movie out titled Asher. The bio states you play an aging hitman. Now, you're in pretty darn good shape, so I don't know about that aging label.
Well, the hair is white. The wrinkles are undeniable. And chronologically, he is definitely on the wrong side of the hill. He's heading downhill fast. His best days are behind him. The reason why I produced the film and love the film as much as I do is because it's a classic aging gunslinger who's trying to figure out, like, did his life have any meaning and what was it all about? And so it's a classic kind of neo-noir kind of 70s part genre film, part character study.
Ooh, I like that. Well, Ron, from following your Twitter feed, @permutations, you're very engaged with what's going on in our country right now. You're kind of fearless with those 280 characters. Have your fingers got you into a few online battles?
More than a few, my friend. More than a few.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, didn't you at one time declare you would run for the presidency in 2020? You never really had your own reality show, so aren't you, like, actually overqualified?
Totally overqualified, which is why I dropped out.
Yeah, I
you
can
know,
see
I'd make way too good a president. You know, I'm sorry. We don't want to raise the bar that high because then the guy who has to follow me is totally screwed.
Well, I know you can read and speak in complete sentences as an actor, so those skills as POTUS are not exactly trending these days. So yeah, I definitely think you're overqualified. There's no doubt about that. But anyway, all right. Well,
depending on who you compare me to.
True. That's a valid point, yeah.
Spud?
Yeah?
Well, I'm not real familiar with Ron and his background, but I would disagree with your statement an actor would be overqualified compared to a reality TV show host. I don't know if you watch reality shows on TV, but most of the people involved on them are really sharp cookies. They aren't playing a character, which is easy. They're playing themselves, and that is way more difficult.
Oh, Ron, just a sec. You know, the bar is set so low right now with our current reality show host in the White House. I'm betting a fourth grader could go ahead to head with them like in a spelling bee. Come on, the man can't spell. Let's all agree with that.
Oh, no, I hope they wouldn't ask Trump to spell origin. Yeah. He would be out on the very first word.
You know what? Spelling and talking in complete sentences are not necessary skills to serve as president. He just needs to be a strong leader who other countries are afraid of. With President Trump, I would say mission accomplished.
Almost everyone on Earth is afraid of what wacky thing he might try. So yeah, whole world is scared shitless. You know, if that makes you feel good, whatever. Just let me get back to Ron. All right, I'm back.
Well, I kind of got to touch on Sons of Anarchy, of course. You played the leader of the club, Clay Morrill. You know, we had on Ryan Hurst, who played Opie, and Emilio Rivera, who played Marcus Alvarez, on. And I had the opportunity to hit them up on a couple, you know, a little trivia for SOA fans. Can I ask if you still have your cut now, and do you wear it around like shopping or when you go to Dodger games?
I, like everybody else who was a regular on the show, was given his cut as a beautiful, generous gesture at the end of the run. And my charity of choice is Multiple Sclerosis, the MS Foundation. I actually auctioned my cut off and raised some money for the charity.
I see. Super. I asked the writing question to Emilio in terms of before the show started. Were you a big motorcycle guy before the show?
No, not before, not during, and not after.
Oh. So you, when you were on the bike, that was like a first time thing?
Yes. It was a first time kind of thing. It wasn't something that, that I was drawn to, even by being exposed to it. Like many of the guys on the show, most of the guys on the show loved it, got their own bikes, etc., etc. With me, it was basically just an opportunity to play a character that I found to be larger than life and interesting to study.
Well, the character definitely resonated with a whole lot of people. Just curious, when you ran into real motorcycle club people, did they ever come up and, I don't know, chat or whatever?
We were very appreciated by the real club world.
I bet.
They thought what we were doing was authentic, was nuanced, was not the typical exploration of motorcycle guys, which is usually very one-dimensional and very kind of celebrating this, you know, the fact that they're violent blobs. You know, we tried to do a more realistic exploration of their family values, why they became off-the-grid guys, anarchists to begin with. And we got a lot of love from the community.
Right. Well, as your character died, and most of the others did by the season finale, I'm guessing there's no chance you'll ever come back to life on a Mayans MC. Is that a pretty good guess?
That's a good guess, man.
Yeah, really damn it. Good guess. Dang it. All right. Well, last question. What's been your most memorable moment so far in your film career or television career, whatever?
Well, about 6 years ago, I started my own movie studio called Wing and a Prayer Pictures. And we're seeing the culmination of that finally now. I started a movie called Asher.
Yeah.
Which is one of my proudest achievements. And we got another movie out called To Death, which is another one of my proudest achievements. So going from being a guy who made a living as an actor for all those years and then segueing into a more holistic approach to bringing films from conception to execution has been a real pleasure for me.
When's that second film you mentioned coming out? Do you know?
Which one?
When is the second film you mentioned coming out?
It's out now.
Oh, both of them. Okay, okay.
Playing around, playing in theaters now. It's called To Dust. It stars Matthew Broderick and Geza Rorick. And it's gotten great reviews. Everybody loves it. It's a small little film, so you've got to kind of keep your eye open for where it's playing. But I'm real proud of it.
All right, super. I will find it. Okay, I won't keep you any longer. I know you got a whole bunch of stuff to do. So thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Mr. Ron Perlman.
There's still more fun and excitement in store in the second half of the Spud Goodman Radio Show right after this brief intermission.
What's going on, man? It's your boy David Olivas.
And DJ Jersey.
Here rocking with Spud Goodman.
With Aunt Dorothy.
We got Gerald in the house.
Chance the intern.
Man, these guys are killing it out here on the Spud Goodman Show, man.
Spud Goodman Show.
Check me out at Real Olivas.
DJ Jersey everything.
Listening to Spud Goodman might be hazardous for your health, but...
We don't know. We don't care. It's the Spud Goodman Show.
All the good stuff is hazardous for your health.
We now return to more action-packed thrills and excitement on the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Spud,
yeah.
If we're going to go all in with a profanity-laced radio show, then we're kind of dropping the ball here. I'm just saying.
Right. I mean, I agree right now that the show could be on Disney Radio. So can you give us a snappy bit of profanity? It carries much more punch from a senior citizen, Aunt Dorothy.
Good call, yo.
Sure, I guess.
See, if I said that word on the show, it just wouldn't have the same impact. Watch. See, nothing.
Yeah, I guess so. You should probably up your game with better swear words.
Yes!
You know, I believe my wife Rachel is listening to the show, and I cannot express how embarrassing this is for me. These kinds of naughty words are something that, well, I just don't feel comfortable with.
Really? Your idol Donald Trump swears like, I don't know, John Gotti 24/7. It must be so hard for him to keep it PG-rated and, you know, instead of X while playing the role of president. It's like he's a porn star in a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
I realize our commander-in-chief has occasionally said a bad word or two in public, but for the most part, he's carried himself well and is a fine role model for my two sons.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Say what?
Yeah.
I just don't want to go down into another, you know, Trump rabbit hole, you know, with the Mueller report and everything. I just not on this particular show. Let's just focus on making this program better, okay?
Right. Do you want me to drop another F word? Oh, heck, I'll just do it.
Thank you again, Aunt Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
You guys, do you remember what happened to the career of public figures who swore a lot? Right down the toilet. Listen, do you remember the guy who played Kramer on that Seinfeld show, Michael something or other? He went on stage at a comedy club, and he just lost it at some heckler. He said a bunch of bad words, and his career was over.
I don't think swear words were the problem for Michael Richards.
Yeah.
He said something else that was way, way worse than
It's pretty good he has all that Seinfeld's money to fall back on.
Okay, all right, well listen, what about Mel Gibson? He went off on a profanity-laced diatribe while being arrested, and it got out to the public, and now look at him. Or, I mean, if you can find him in a movie anymore.
Again, I don't think swear words are what got Mel Gibson in hot water either.
I think he was swearing. He
has a bit of a temper and said not really okay things like about...
I remember if he just kept it to a few f-yous and not that master race stuff, he might still be starring in movies today.
I don't think so.
You know, I'm not familiar with the specifics of his situation, but I know he won't be doing a Lethal Weapon 6 or 7, and that's a tragedy.
Not really the definition of a tragedy.
He could still rehab his career, huh? It's still possible. Okay, yeah, he is f***ed.
You know, if we're talking about celebrities who spewed profanity off camera and survived, there are those.
Why don't you bring up Christian Bale? I mean, he went off on that grip during a movie. You know, and someone leaked the conversation, and it was pretty brutal stuff. But his career is just fine. He just got nominated at last year's Academy Awards. So bad words don't always cause a sad ending.
Game has changed, yo.
So just think about that. See if our next guest is ready.
Oh, okay. And, Spud, I'm being told by the board that your next guest, Sean Astin, is holding for you.
All right. You know, I have wanted to get Sean on this show for a while. He's been in some really interesting stuff over the years.
Oh, I saw two of those Lord of the Rings movies. I was on my way to see the third one, and I got a flat tire on the way to the theater. Never did see it. Maybe I could ask him what happened in it.
Yeah, I don't think that would be cool. You know, that was many years ago, right? And
oh.
And you know the rule. No questions from anyone other than me.
Oh, darn.
And that rule was put in just for you, Gerald.
Yeah, and I continue to find it to be a very counterproductive rule. I have so much to offer in the guest interviews.
I think the reason why is I've just been, like, so unhappy.
Well, it's only an hour show, man, okay?
I know.
If I let you jump in, we would need to expand to, like, 2 or 3 hours, and I can never sit still that long.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it.
Please put Sean through, please.
Yeah, all right, here he is.
Welcome, actor Sean Astin. Thanks for calling in, man.
Spud.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. So you have another show now on Netflix after completing season 2 of Stranger Things. This one's called No Good Nick. It's been okayed for 2 seasons before it even airs. So congrats. That's kind of rare these days.
You know, 20-episode order is, yeah, it's incredibly rare. So they consider it one season where the first 10, like the first half of the season is now, you know, all 10 are going to drop on Monday, and then the second half 10 are going to drop, like, later in the year. So I guess for the audience, it's like 2 seasons, but they, you know, we're hoping for a pickup for our second season. That's the way we're thinking it. But tonight, actually, we're filming, it's our last night of filming episode 20.
Huh.
So it's our season 1, like, it's a very emotional day for us, and it's amazing that it finishes on a Friday, and then the show premieres on Monday. I mean, it's you know, it's just a whirlwind, actually.
Right. Well, you're pretty busy these days juggling multiple projects. Is this period the most hectic you've had other than, say, being on that marathon shoot of the Lord of the Rings trilogy in New Zealand?
I'll tell you what. Our show, No Good Nick, we tape in front of a live studio audience 3 weeks in a row, and then we have our fourth week off. And then 3 weeks and fourth week off. So those hiatus weeks are for the writers to collect themselves. And during each one of the hiatuses, I was on an episode of Big Bang Theory or of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or I went to Atlanta to do an episode of a show. So it's just been an incredible, like, 6.5-7 months. So, yeah, yes is the answer to the question.
Well, maybe I should have used another term like lengthy, as you are an actual marathon runner, right?
Oh, that is so cool. I haven't done the Seattle Marathon yet. Yes, I've run 13 big city marathons, including Boston Marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon, and I did the Ironman Triathlon in Kona, Hawaii. But I've stopped running for like the last year and a half, so now I'm really fat.
Well, I don't know about fat. We can talk about fat. We won't deal with that issue. But, well, getting back, one last question. One last question, though, about the Lord of the Rings trilogy shoot. I was just curious. What would happen if, say, you or Elijah Wood would have just said, heck, I feel like calling in sick for a few weeks? Would that have messed things up? Because they couldn't recast it midway through, like, the second movie of the three, right?
You know, you put your finger on something that it's not funny to me. It's very powerful because there was a moment, you know, you have like a body clock,
yeah.
You know, you're used to doing certain things. And after 3 or 4 months, your body clock was saying like, okay, you finished your movie. And you're like, nope, we're not even a fifth of the way through. And so like somewhere after like 7 months, I remember being in the makeup buses. They have like these 18 wheelers and they empty them out. And they put like makeup stations in there where you get your hobbit ears and hobbit hair put on.
Yeah.
And it was dark in there. The lights weren't on. And I was standing behind where my makeup thing was, my station. And we all have our pictures up over it. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, I'm so tired. And I'm so, you know, it's just, this is so hard. The hours, it's like 18 hours a day. And then 6 hours later, you come back again, 6 day weeks. And And, you know, it's like hard. It's physically, you wouldn't think that acting is hard, but like, man, it is hard. And I'm like, what if I can't go on? You're absolutely right. It's like, I can't quit. You know, I can't. And I thought I had reached like a breaking point in my life, like I have a nervous breakdown or something.
Right.
And then what happens is you're like, take a deep breath, and then you keep going. And you realize that, like, you are capable of doing so much more than you ever realized. Your body, your mind, your spirit are really so much stronger. And you can sort of count on those physical and emotional reserves. You just have to trust that they're there. So you ask, it seems like a simple question you asked, but it's actually a really big question for me. It was a very important life, you know, epiphany, realization that I had.
Right. Well, I was thinking the studio must have been praying that none of you guys, like, went out at night or started bungee jumping or something.
Well, actually, when we got down there, they gave us a list. Like, please do not surf, bungee jump, parachute, motorcycle ride, because there's no insurance. You know, they couldn't take out insurance. If one of us gets hurt, who knows? I thought that you're so funny. You're really on it. So, but after like 3 months, it actually became like a to-do list.
Right.
Like, we bungee jumped, we paraplaned, a couple went skydiving, Orlando and I went motorcycle riding. They all were surfing. I was terrible at surfing, but they all went surfing all the time. One day, Viggo Mortensen came in, and a surfboard had hit him in the face, and his face looked like pulp. I mean, he looked really, it was a bad injury. And they're like, well, I guess we'll film him from the other side just, you know, for 2 weeks.
Well, all right.
Spud.
Yes.
I don't know if I've shared with you my own personal list of activities that are not wise for me to participate in with my role here as co-host. I'm very aware of what impact an injury on my part would do to this show. My gosh, it would create havoc for everyone, so I am very cautious in my personal life.
Sean, give me a moment here. I'm pretty sure we would be just fine if you decided to, like, skydive or climb, say, Mount Everest. I can chip in if finances are an issue, you know, if you need some help with a flight to Nepal. Rest assured, we would tough it out without you, as the show must go on.
Yeah, Gerald, if you should fall and break a hip skateboarding or rock climbing, I'm fairly confident I could step in and fill your shoes if need be.
No. That will never have to happen, Mrs. Jarvitz. I have had most activities evaluated by an actuary in terms of potential risk to my body and overall health. I'm a team player, Spud.
No need to be, man. Jeez, life is short. Just go for it. Yeah. We will be fine here. Now, let me get back to Sean, if you don't mind. Okay, I'm back. Well, let me hit you with another project you worked on, a question I got here. I was thinking, when you took on the starring role in the movie Rudy, did you have to, like, work on your football skills, like do two-a-day drills before the cameras rolled, or were you just born a natural football player?
Well, I had just run the L.A. Marathon right before getting that part, so I was skinny. It's super skinny. And they wanted me for the part. Rudy wanted me. The director, they wanted me, but it wasn't a contractual thing. But they're like, you have to put on 10 pounds, or you're just not credible as somebody who can make an actual hit from a college, you know, elite football, you know, 250-pound guy.
Yeah.
So for time before we started, I had a weight training and stuff. And then when we got there, the Notre Dame football team has their complex, and I had access to the complex and kept that going, and then they actually brought out a football. It was very sophisticated, actually, what they did to make the football. You're so good. Your questions are, like, so unique. So, and they would teach you the stance and the hit drills and stuff, and, you know, they were worried that if I got hurt, you know, it's the acting scenes that you really want the lead actor for, so they have the stunt double. But I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to feel what it was like to get hit, and I wanted the audience to feel like the real guy was getting hit and stuff. So, but we did, the stunt double did a lot of work because, there's just physics involved in it. It hurts. It hurts. Like, you get hit, and those helmets and the in the early 70s, Atlanta's like webbing in them, and they were just these brain buckets. Not good.
Heck yeah. I mean, you got stuck a few times. I've seen the movie like, well, I don't know, 10 times. But all right. Well, let me close this conversation because I know you got all sorts of stuff going on. Is there one project or something that you still really want to do at this point in your career, or do you feel you're pretty much done it all and, you know, in the business and you're good with where you're at?
Well, my lifelong dream. So my mother is Patty Duke,
right?
Who had a big hit TV show in the 60s called The Patty Duke Show, a sitcom.
Amazing show.
It broke new ground because she was playing twins. She was playing identical cousins. And then my dad, John Astin, was in The Addams Family,
yeah.
You know, which is a television comedy. And then my little brother was in The Fact of Life, and the stage he filmed on that or taped that show on is the same stage or right next door to the one that my new show is on. So I would actually take the bus from Westwood Village, like when I was 14, 15 years old, by myself, all the way into like downtown Hollywood, almost downtown LA, and I would sit in the audience or sit on the floor or sit in the booth or whatever, and I would watch the sitcom, and I would dream of doing it. And all through the 90s, I would do pilots that didn't get picked up. I did like 6 pilots that didn't go. But my fantasy, my dream for myself was that one day I would get to star in a sitcom. And that's what the reason why I'm calling you today is because my new sitcom, my new family show, live audience, you know, drops on Netflix on Monday, and that's it. That's the dream for me. And what we're hoping is that people fall in love with the show. And we did 20 episodes. Actually, today we're finishing shooting our last day of our last episode of the first season, and it's funny because that's Friday, and on Monday the show drops, and then we're just all praying for a second season. So that's what I want, you know. And then I also have aspirations as a filmmaker and other things. But the thing about acting is, it's always, you know, if you're lucky and you know if you're lucky, basically you get to do new things that relate to who you are at the age you are and dealing with issues that are relative to you. So I can do Goonies when I'm 12, and that pirate adventure feels fun. And then Rudy comes along, and I'm actually in college at the time that I get that movie. And so that is my, you know, relative to my age then. And, you know, that's the secret, is to just try to do stuff that speaks to who you really are at the time you're doing it. And hopefully then you build some longevity, which I've been lucky enough to do.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, you have. Well, hey, thank you so much for sharing that stuff. We really appreciate it. And just thank you very much. Okay.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. I love Seattle. I've been there many, many, many times, and I appreciate it.
There you have it, Sean Astin.
This is one of radio's most famous musical productions, the program that brings you the music of a nation that loves to sing and whose songs reflect the beauty and romance inherent in its way of life.
This is the Spud Goodman Show.
All right, it's musical guest interview time. Welcome to the show, Massey Ferguson. Gentlemen, please ID yourself and the instrument you play.
My name is Ethan Anderson. I'm the lead singer, and I play bass.
My name's Adam. I play guitar and sing some.
I'm Dave, and I play drums.
I'm Fred over here. I'm on keys.
Ethan, you want to give their names again if they weren't picked up?
Yeah, we got Fred Slater on keys, Adam Monda on guitar and vocals, and Dave Getty on drums.
Super. So, you guys have a new record out, Great Divides. How many man hours went into this record, and at what cost? Were there, like, other band members who were conveniently, like, disappeared during the sessions if they were off key or screwed up a chord or two? If so, it won't go any further?
Well, yeah, we've had to...
Don't bring up Mitch.
Yeah, we've had to shed some weight. Nobody was killed in the making in this album, which I think is good. It was just unusual for us, actually. But we got a new album, a lot of man hours, too many man hours. We actually had to do some overdubs at a studio in Vashon, because Martin Fevrier, Martin, if you're listening, love to you, buddy. But your studio was really far away in Vashon Island. So the Washington State Ferry Services were the beneficiaries of quite a bit of moolah.
Still have some receipts I need to turn in, by the way.
Yeah, but it's tax season's over, I think, isn't
it? Well, let's talk traveling. You guys have just returned from a tour in Spain. Anyone bring back any nifty refrigerator magnets?
I did, actually. Well, it's great that you mentioned that, because we had 1 day off. 1 day off on this 2 week tour, and we stopped in Cáceres, which was like a UNESCO historical site, and I bought a kitchen magnet.
Well, a day off, but with a 5-hour drive.
Yeah, actually, I think it was 6. Yeah,
they have a Walmart there.
No, actually, everything is super mom and pop. So I bought it from some old Spanish lady.
All right, super. They haven't penetrated that market. That's good to know. So, what's the band's official position on regifting? Is it acceptable, or is it a heinous crime against humanity? What do you think?
I'm for it.
I do it all the time,
even if it's food.
Ooh.
Yeah, if I don't like it.
Okay. All right.
Well,
fine.
Yeah, if it's perishable, then you're in some hot water there.
Or magnets.
If it's by the due, if it's close to the due date, it's totally good.
All right. Well, let me ask you guys, what are the long-term goals of the band right now? Do you thirst for superstardom, or would you just be okay with plain old stardom?
Superstardom.
Superstardom all the way, you know, arenas,
limos,
Coachella.
Green M&M's.
I was going to go blue, but, you know, everybody's got their preferences. Super mega stardom, as big as humanly possible. Yeah, kind of like I'd like to be like Nikki Sixx, honestly.
Huh.
I mean, like, not now Nikki Sixx, but the one from, like, 88.
Watch out for the squirters. But, all right, what's the name of the next song, and what's it about?
This is a song called Don't Give Up on Your Friends. We were in the practice space, and Adam started writing this really cool idea, and he had the line, Don't Give Up on Your Friends, so I kind of fleshed out the idea, and I mean, the name is self-explanatory, so why don't we get into it, and I'll stop babbling.
Yeah, let's do it.
On the campfire light, I'm sitting here with my folks. Let's sneak out, still there smokes. 'Cause we all know they like you better than me. I'm gonna stick around. Won't you stay away? I wanna see. Hands under the sea, no sense in between. Lay back, head on the black. Talk to school, having some laughs. All day mowing along. I think I did, and you had some cash. Friends will come through in time, you will see. I wanna stick around. Won't you stay awake? I wanna sit in your dad's grandma tea. Beer cans under the sea. Grandma's fires on campfire line. Don't give up.
This is the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Hey there, this is John Doe. You're listening to Spud Goodman make a fool of himself, as he usually does. And it's a good thing, because then you can laugh along with your friends and not laugh with him, but laugh at him.
Spud,
yeah.
Your last guest, Joe Lotruglio, is on the line for you.
All right, this dude has been in more funny movies and TV shows than most guests we've ever had on this program.
Really?
From Reno 911 to, like, Superbad, Pineapple Express, to Wet Hot American Summer, to...
Oh,
I mean,
he was really good in Pitch Perfect 1 and 2. Not so much the movies, but Joe was very funny.
Oh, you know, I believe we rented the first Pitch Perfect 1 weekend. I gotta say, it was a bit racy, but my wife seemed to enjoy it. So, you know, we watched it after we put the kids to bed early.
How do you put your oldest Gerald Jr. to bed early? He's like 17, right?
Yeah.
He should have called the authorities or filed a complaint.
It's time to shut it down, turn the tables, and lock her up.
But you know what? He's a big sleeper. He goes up to his room each night after dinner, and we don't see him until breakfast.
I drank beer with my friends. I liked beer. I still like beer.
You might want to put a GPS tracker on him. I'm fairly sure he has an active nightlife. You're not aware of it, but whatever. Just put Joe through.
Well, okay, but you know what? Our son would never sneak out. He loves his family. He's not a delinquent like you were at his age. But yeah, here's Joe.
Say hello to actor and now director Joe Lotruglio. Thanks for coming on our program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Well, the life story of your show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is quite interesting, as Fox cancels you guys after 5 seasons, and now you have one of the top-rated comedies on TV with NBC picking up the show. Have any of the actors had to fight back the urge to send off a nasty I told you so tweet or two to the Fox suits?
You know, we've been able to hold ourselves restrained, and to be quite fair, you know, the people that we worked with at Fox directly were terrific, and they really did love the show, and they really kind of gave us a lot of free rein. And unfortunately, our show didn't quite fit with that particular network, but the creatives that we had around us were always very supportive. But yeah, I mean, you always like to, you know, succeed after someone says that, you know, you're not working. And so that was very satisfying for sure. And I think the show... We got a bit of a swagger after we came back because,
yeah,
you know, it was all icing at that point. We didn't think that we were going to be around anymore. And so when you get that much love from that many people, you say, like, hey, you know what? A lot of people have been watching and really like us. And so let's keep the chin up and keep peacocking.
Right.
Pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you've been involved with some of the better comedy projects in the last 20 or so years. You know, after your work with The State ended, among them Reno 911, Superbad, Pineapple Express, Party Down,
yeah,
bunch of others. Was comedy in your genes? Did you see this coming in middle school?
I come from a large Italian-Irish family. We're very loud, and when you have a lot of cousins, you want some attention and you want some laughs, and... it probably started somewhere around then, but I was always interested in comedy, but I was actually kind of a pretty serious kid and was more into horror movies, I still am, than comedy. And comedy was just something that I enjoyed, I was good at, and I ended up just meeting a lot of super talented people. I think the secret to being involved in projects like I've been involved with is that you... you can't be a dick, and you make it about the work.
Oh.
You know, it's the truth. You just have to you have to be a good guy. And a lot of people that I work with are also just great people. Because in comedy, you want to create a nice light atmosphere on set. You know, you don't want to kind of create a lot of drama. That's for the drama. So for comedy, you have to kind of go with the flow and make sure you're in a place that's safe and fun.
I just wrote that dick thing down just for future reference. So, all right.
It's the truth. Those are the only two words, only two rules you need to know. If you follow those things, you'll work a long time. You'll have a lot of friends.
All right. Well, you know, on the show, we're discussing those seven words George Carlin identified that you can't say over the air on broadcast TV or terrestrial radio. Do you find common...
Was that one of them? Did I just
No, I don't think that's on the list. Do you find comedy a lot easier when you can toss a few of those into the mix or not?
I think it's neither here nor there. I think it really kind of depends on... really the joke you're going for. I have no problem with it. I also don't try to go out of my way to use it. But sure, everyone loves a good by the way.
That's one of those bleeped words. Yeah, well, that'll be bleeped. I like that.
Spud.
Yes.
I don't think we've ever had to bleep a guest before. You see what happens when you go down this road of profanity?
Hey, Joe, hold on for a sec.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, it'll be bleeped. It was bleeped. Whatever. Don't freak out here. He just said, I mean, it's not like he said mother or sucker.
Yeah, Gerald, calm down. Guests should be allowed to express themselves in the manner they wish. Who made you the language police anyway?
Joe could have gone off on a real cussing tirade when I asked, what his take was on those seven words. He was very professional about it.
Well, he could have chosen a synonym for that S word, like poop, or maybe, dare I say, crap. I believe that one's okay with the government.
Oh, yeah. Crap is fine.
See?
Stay vigilant, man, and let me get back to Joe. All righty, I'm back. Now, where were we? Yeah.
I wanted a little bit, we started we're able to bleep on NBC now. Like, we weren't able to do that at Fox. And we, every now and then on the show on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, we throw a bleep in there. We weren't able to do that at Fox. So, and I'll say this, bleeps are funnier than the actual, curse word. I'll say that. A nicely timed bleep gets a laugh every time. In fact, there's a great one on my episode that I directed on Thursday night.
Super. All right. Well, last question. If you were suddenly appointed comedy commissioner of the world, what would be your first edict? Possibly maybe doing away with laugh tracks on all sitcoms. That would be my first one.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I would get a lot more. I would get a lot more Brooklyn Nine-Nine on the air. Even more so than it is. That would be my edict. A 24/7 Brooklyn Nine-Nine channel.
And then
we'd have to bring in every week. We'd rotate our actors a little bit, so we'd all be playing different roles. I'd be playing Rosa, perhaps Stephanie would be playing Hulk. Something along those lines.
Well, maybe squeeze out like an hour or two, like at 3 or 4 in the morning for some Reno 911 reruns, but that's just the night. All right. I know you got to go.
I'd have a cast of Reno do Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
There you go. All right. All right. Well, let me say again, Brooklyn Nine-Nine airs each Thursday on NBC at 9, 8 Central. We really appreciate you checking in with us.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot, Spud.
Yep. Mr. Joe Lotruglio.
How time flies.
You know, Spud, it's not too late to turn this naughty word train around. I think there is a reason that the government came up with those 15 or is it 16 words people cannot say on the air.
It's only 7 words, like I said to Joe. George Carlin pretty much laid it out for the public, at least in this country.
I really miss George Carlin. A major loss for the world of comedy and common sense, too.
You know, totally. You both may recognize only 7 words to be off limits, but I and the others have it in double-digit figures.
Hey, you shut your face!
SOB and pissed off are no longer considered profanity either. Times change, man. All right, maybe not in some other countries. I think there are places where there are only so many words you can say.
That is messed up, yo.
I feel sorry for the talk show hosts in Saudi Arabia and North Korea.
And for the record, Gerald, those 7 words are... and...
Yeah, I always thought... was in there too, but I guess not, as that would be 8.
Dorothy,
I know you rarely use profanity, really only when you're watching Fox News and occasionally in our intimate moments, so I'm proud of you using words publicly that would still get me in trouble if I said them at my parents' house.
Aww, thank you.
It was very brave. The last time I used the F word, my dad took away my video game controller and made me clean the gutters.
Yeah, you mean when you were a little kid?
No, this happened last month. In case my parents are listening now, I really can't join in on this cussing thing.
You can't!
It's not worth it for me.
Honey, you should always respect your parents' wishes. The last thing you need to do is get put on restriction again. We have plans to go to that rave at my friend's warehouse.
I know. I'm really watching my behavior around the house, as I know you really want to go to my first rave.
Spud, I cannot believe your aunt said those words out loud. Now all of us are going to be in trouble.
Oh, brother.
What have you two done? I often play this show later at my church over the public address system in the recreation area. You know, the shows where I have a more prominent role.
I guess we'll find out if it was worth it soon. I mean, you know, if that guy's advice to spice up the show was on the money or not.
And it only makes common sense.
I'll be honest, this designated laugher position is really not doing it for me these days. So if we do go down in flames, so be it.
I think I almost have enough credits, so if this show gets canceled, I'll be okay. I could do a research paper for my faculty advisor.
Yeah.
And, I think we have a caller who wants to join in the discussion.
I don't know, what the Hey, I don't think anyone needs to bleep hell. I mean, call you there, go ahead. What's your take on our new approach? What are you thinking? Are you pro-profanity or anti-profanity?
Yeah, I really don't care about profanity one way or another. People cuss all the time where I work, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. If you really want to know what I think, swearing all the time is kind of lame. But what I'm calling is, I wanted to know if you guys would be interested in booking my band as a musical guest. I'm in a hardcore harmonica punk band. We totally rock! And don't take this wrong, but you really need a band with balls.
That's ridiculous.
That's kind of a sexist statement, caller.
Yeah, okay, fair point. Let me rephrase that. You need a band that actually rocks! How about that?
Huh. I disagree that we don't book bands that rock. I mean, our band tonight is freaking awesome. And, you know, okay, we do try to, you know, have some diversity, you know, some different genres. Just send your link or demo or whatever to me and I'll check it out, but I gotta go.
Hey, no. We're at band practice right now. Could we play something for you over the phone? Hey, guys.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not in the mood for any harmonica music. Get rid of this, please. Bye. Okay. But hey, this guy did bring up a decent point. Swearing just to swear is maybe kind of weak. And truthfully, I'm not really good at cussing. I often struggle to select the right cuss word, and the wrong one can totally destroy your street cred. You know, so there are so many you know, other shows out there on satellite radio and podcasts. Then the people on those are just highly skilled cussers. Maybe we just need to stick with what we are now. You know, what do you guys think? Let's face it, we're a bland, boring show.
Uh-huh.
We offend no one.
That's frankly offensive.
Finally, some reason and wisdom, Spud. I could not agree with you more. Leave the swearing to those who are good at it.
You stupid, ignorant, dumb.
You know, contrary to what others say, there is nothing to be ashamed of for being boring. Trust me on that one.
I'm going to think this one over and make a decision soon, okay? Can I ask if you have ever said a borderline swear word? I don't think I've ever heard you blurt out anything, even questionable, when like you spill your coffee all over your shirt, which happens all the time, or when someone pulls out, you know, your chair when you try and sit down as a prank. That's always funny. But you always display great control. I mean, come on, give us a borderline word just for fun.
This is going to be cool.
You know, I'm not a prude, Spud. You really want to hear me spew profanities publicly?
Yeah.
Okay. How about
everybody does?
How about this? Damn it! There, I said it. Are you happy now?
I don't know. You're probably going to get your mouth washed out with soap when you get home. So
maybe.
I guess it was sort of brave. Thank you. Now let me close this damn show. I am Spud Goodman. Be all that you can be, and I mean that. God bless and ciao.
Bye bye.
Copyright 2019 Spud Goodman Productions.